Did you know there's an online cannabis company that ships federally legal THC right to your door? And they found a way to combine THC with carefully selected functional ingredients to create gummies, baked goods, and flower for whatever type of buzz you'd want. I'm talking about Mood.com. They have an incredible line of cannabis gummies, and you get 20% off your first order at Mood.com with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. This isn't some rinky-dink discount of 5 or 10%. This is 20% off your first order. Forget one-size-fits-all supplements that only get you high. Mood's functional gummies are optimized to kick in as little as 15 minutes and take you to the mood you're looking for. My favorite are the Sleepy Time Advanced gummies. That's right, those are for sleepy time. You know when you just can't fall asleep? Take these and they'll put you right in the mood. Beyond gummies, Mood also has a selection of flower, pre-rolls, bakery treats, and beverages. Listen, you can find gummies to just get you high pretty much everywhere these days. But Mood's functional gummies combine premium, federally legal THC with targeted botanicals to help you get into the perfect mood, usually in as little as 15 minutes. And everything ships discreetly right to your door. No dispensary lines, no awkward conversations, just better days and nights delivered to your doorstep. Best of all, not only is every Mood product backed by a 100-day satisfaction guarantee, but as I mentioned, listeners get 20% off their first order with promo code SPECIALISTS with an S on the end. So head to Mood.com, find the functional gummy that matches exactly what you're looking for, and let Mood help you discover your perfect mood. And don't forget to use promo code SPECIALISTS when you check out to save 20% on your first order. Try it today at mood.com.
Free on the right side of your screen.
Driver Specialist Phone Alexa are back with our Survivor 43 episode 8 predictions and power rankings. And yeah, we're at the final 11. We hopefully hit the jury this week. Question mark, smiley face. I don't know. Are we getting there? Poor Dwight is sitting there with all the pre-merge losers. No, I'm just kidding. But it does for the first time. We were corrected by Gamer Girl. It was for the first time since season 35 when Jessica Johnston had made the merge but didn't make the jury, which was a brutal one because Jessica Johnston was also maybe the most popular player on that season at that point. So that was crazy. But yeah, this is drawing a lot of parallels to season 35, which I think spells a Gabler win, which I think would excite the internet to levels not
seen before. That's it. It was happening. It would excite Phil, that's for sure.
I love Gabler. Huge Gabler guy. Love him.
He is also, he has entered the Twitterverse at the right time. He was like chainsawing something and was talking about his forearms. I don't know. His daughters are probably running a social media account, and therefore it's going to be really excellent.
I love that he hopped in now. It's almost like he hops in late. I'm going to be popular this week, so here I come. I thought that was so funny because I had said on the after show that Gabler doesn't have social media or anything, blah, blah, blah. And then sure enough, here he comes. And it's funny because half the internet really, I would say maybe a quarter of the internet really likes him and a quarter of the internet doesn't care. And then the other half of the internet just like despises that he exists because they think he's going to be Ben 2.0 and blah, blah, blah. And I just think
I don't think that's what people think. Cause I don't, no offense, Gabler, if you're listening, well, not talk. I think they're different players. I think it's different levels of play.
There's been a lot of Ben comparisons on the internet this week. A lot.
It's probably just because of the Marine thing. And that's has nothing. There's no commonality there.
Which other is, than but it makes me laugh because they're like, here comes the Gabler win. And he's just going to talk about the Marines the whole time. He's going to start getting, there was something, I think it was on Twitter or Reddit. I don't remember where, but it was just like this whole thing that just kept going on. And I was laughing. I was like, oh man, we're not there yet. He's just Gabler at this point. He's just mentioned the Marines once. It's okay.
He's here and he has good forearms.
He does have good forearms. The best forearms on the season.
The finest forearms in the great country of Fiji.
I was very appreciative of Owen's tweet that was like, I play Xbox and pet my cat, Gabler, yeah. Chainsaw trees. Like, I thought that
was... What did you expect?
Yeah, like...
Owen's good.
It's one of those two, like Dwight, Cody, they go to the gym probably more than Gabler, but they're working out their biceps and abs and pecs, and Gabler's just working out his forearms.
Someone said this I saw on Reddit, and I never really knew what this meant until a few years ago, but he has like dad strength. Like it's called like old man strength, but he's not old. So But like, that's just like life experience strength. Mm-hmm. Like you can just do that when you hit a certain age. And it's pretty cool to see like Cody, who's a pretty jacked dude, like not be able to compare to the Alec Abler.
It's very funny because like, as like guys, as you get older, like I'm getting stronger and now I'm the young guy and whatever, like old men just know how to throw their weight around. And mm-hmm. that's the scary part. And like you said, like, it's just the knowledge of being older and knowing like what's going to work mm-hmm. because for some reason you've been in a position before where your forearms had to be strong. It's so ridiculous, but it is true. It is true. And I think Sammy probably would have beaten Gabler, but we might've seen an hour or longer in a challenge, which we got rid of as a prop bet. Cause it never freaking happens. And we would have ended up getting it this season after all that. So
was it an hour or was it like 37 minutes?
It was 37 minutes. But I'm saying if Sammy was there, we would have had Sammy and Gabler for like 3 days and would have broken.
And then just wouldn't have had a tribal council.
Yeah. Break Ian and Tom's record.
Exactly.
Quit, right. Yeah. But anyway, so all that, we're at the final 11. We lost Dwight last week. So Vessi has the least amount of people from their original starting tribe remaining. 4 people left from Coco, 4 people left from Baca otherwise though. And kind of fun how there's a lot of ways that this feels like it can go right now, which is always a good thing. We have James's knowledge is power in play, which will be played correctly because as soon as he asks the question, Jeff is going to have a dream teamer run up behind the person he asks and slip an idol in their pocket to make sure it's there.
I hope he asks Janine. She's like, no.
No, actually, Dwight has my idol. Thanks a lot. But so we have that. We don't have Janine's idol, which has been confirmed. We have Carla's idol still, and we have Cody's idol still. We still have Noelle's steal a vote. But otherwise, there's no other advantages. So really not that many advantages in the game. I think everybody's just a little frustrated that the knowledge is power is there. And for as much as like the internet complains about things, that is one thing that I just 100% agree with. It's like it's that horrible. Knowledge is power was bad. And it doesn't seem like there's a single positive thing being said about that anywhere in the world.
It's just this is me taking myself so seriously, the audacity to bring it back in the same season. Yeah. Like that's the problem. Like, of course, like it's a production tool that they're going to love, but to bring it back because it didn't work is just horrific.
It's horrific. It really, really is. So all of that's going on. I feel like another thing, I looked a lot at what people were saying after this episode because I just thought there was so many things that happened in the last episode and now they're at final 11 and I am enjoying this season even though it doesn't seem like that's the popular opinion. I wanted to see like what people were saying and
it was up and down. People loved it.
Very up and down. And the one thing I did agree with that I kind of didn't realize, it's kind of like in a Game of Thrones episode where like the dragons will just appear and then you're like, well, wait, how did that, but you like kind of turn your brain off and you just let it happen and then don't think too hard about it. That happened in this episode where I had turned my brain off to the point where I was just like, oh, this is different. This is whatever. And when I started reading some of the complaints about why did Sammy vote this way and why did things break this way and where was the show? I was like, they really did gloss over some of the strategizing this episode, huh?
They really did. And the Sammy thing, especially because I don't remember things very well, but apparently we had a quick conversation at the very beginning of Sammy and Carla vibing or like talking it through. But that isn't particularly cohesive. That's like everyone is talking on Survivor, but not everybody is voting together. And I think it like kind of does a disservice to Sammy because he very well could have explained to us why he flipped and why he wasn't voting with the Baca tribe again. So that was messy. I think, I don't know, to me it makes sense why, to me, Dwight went home because Cody and Jesse wanted to do that. I don't think it was like a good thing that they did that for them, but I think the rest of the group was like, okay, we'll just let them do this instead of getting rid of another one of, you know, another Baca or Coco. Everything else though, was pretty sloppy. And I think it's because the challenge is long, but I'm really hesitant to critique that because I like the challenge being long, except for the reason that Jeff had one thing that I kind of forgot about. And we didn't talk about like Jeff told them to go help them out of the net and then applauded them for helping them get out of the net. That is a choice.
It's called creating your own storylines, right? Plant the gun. And
right.
Then
like they would have done it. They would have done it anyway. They're not going to just.
I don't know if they would have, man.
Yeah, maybe they would have kicked them. Like, who knows?
I'm just saying, if Noelle is stuck there forever, she's out of the game. She can't go to tribal council, so she's out. I'd leave her.
Yeah, maybe if it's, I mean, if Gabler and Owen are up there for 11 hours, then you vote out Noelle or Janine because they're dying.
They're just stuck. They're just stuck in the mud.
It's really unfortunate, but you know.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, that is funny. I had said on the after show, I think it was just an overcompensation, and I'm okay with Survivor overcompensating this way. I felt the same way after season 41 came back on. I remember we talked a lot about like, we're going to really like this beginning just because Survivor is back. And I feel like Survivor kind of overcompensated with like the COVID stuff and everything. It felt like very like, this is what I was doing during the pandemic. And I understand that that was what was still fresh on everybody's minds at that point. But it felt like they overcompensated. And then in 42, all of that footage was still there, but it really was cut out with the exception of Mariah, it felt like. And I guess Sarah was 41. So yeah. So it feels like right now they're listening to us though. And that's why I can't complain, because it feels like they are listening to audiences and hearing the complaints of, we're tired of the same challenges every time. You need to do something that spices it up. There's an effort here. This challenge just felt like an overcompensation. The same way the Earn the Merge with the Hourglass was an overcompensation for earning the merge. Like, you can have a way that's creative and interesting and makes it a little bit more difficult to hit the next phase of the game, but then adding the Hourglass in too is a huge overcompensation. So I do think that eventually we're going to level off and we're going to see challenges that aren't going to take up that much time and all that, but we are going to, it's just going to take time. But I like the direction that they're trying to move in, because the challenges should be a part of the episode. But I get tired of watching, and then you do this, and then you do a puzzle, and I can look at my phone for 5 minutes until they get to the puzzle, and then I can start watching, because everything that happens before that doesn't matter. So I like the direction we're going, at least. I just think it's going to take them a little bit to figure out how to do it, because they're out of practice.
Yeah, and also the thing is, like, I don't think there was much of an explanation for why Dwight went home. I don't think there is still. I think Cody and Jesse wanted him to go home, and they explained that very clearly. And it was between two other people, and then it moved to Dwight. So I like really don't have a problem with that. I just wish the time spent pausing the challenge was everybody instead, like maybe a little more camp life, or actually just the group deciding to pick who they're going to be partnered with instead of drawing rocks. But that's totally fine. I agree with you. I was a little surprised to see how much people hated this episode. It was weird pacing, but I don't know. I'm also kind of fine with that, because every time it's like 8:20, I'm like, okay, it's challenge time. And then it's 8:35, and then it's tribal council time.
Who was it that there was the one late night show, a guy who used to do like Jimmy in the Street or whatever. Was that Jimmy Fallon or somebody? Or they used to do
Billy in the Street. Billy.
Thank you. Yeah. Where like they would just go and like ask random questions or like say random things to people, whatever. I wonder if we did that kind of thing for this season of Survivor, what people would say. Because I do believe that, I don't think 41 and 42, you were getting a very different like grasp on what was happening in the season, whether you were a rando, a filthy casual, or if you were a diehard. But I do feel as though this season, I think the internet and people who are just like casually watching and not tweeting about it or going on Reddit or really listening to our podcast, I think there's a difference of opinion on this season. And I think it's much more significant. And I would be curious, because we don't get that perspective, right? Like, we're not hearing, the only ones we ever hear from is when Jeff asked them at the finale, what do you think about this season? Oh, it's the best season ever. Yeah, that was prepped.
Yeah, that person had held planned. Up to gunpoint.
Yeah. So I would just be curious if we could hear more from your other 7 million people who are watching this season, other than the people who are on the internet. What are they saying? Because I don't think that they're as polarizing right now.
Yeah, my extremely anecdotal evidence there is my mother and my brother, and both of which are of the pretty similar. My brother actually texted me when we were podcasting our recap, and he said, I'm loving the season, but it's really cheesy. And my mom said something very similar to that. My mom was like, I'm a little done with the sob stories. My mom and my brother both want challenges, and I've never been that person, but I've become that person because I think maybe I'm getting so, like, the strategy part is getting so stale because of how neurotic it is that the challenges are like the only stable part of the show that I want to enjoy more of. But I watch, you know, I watch with some friends who are not huge fans or people who are not like over analytical like us, and they are liking it. They really like the people, but it's the sob stories and there's a lot of confusion with idols and advantages.
Yeah.
I think it's not necessarily dislike, but they're just really confused.
I agree with that. And I mean, I have the same kind of anecdotal evidence, but like my uncle, who I didn't know still watched the show because he never talks about it, like called me last Thursday to talk about it because he was really into it. And he also is really into the challenges, but it was funny because I didn't know he's been watching. I was like, did you watch the last? Oh yeah, I've watched 41 and 42. And he never talked to me about it. Oh. So that's kind of funny. Like, and then like, I know I've been watching with my wife who we watched the first 10 seasons and she is a much bigger fan of old school Survivor than new school Survivor, but she is really liking this season compared to 41 and 42. So that's where I'm saying, I think that the internet is feeling one way, but I don't necessarily think that's as popular of an opinion as what we believe, because the internet is also what we can go see. My neighbor could watch the show and I'd have no idea.
Yeah. And this one, at least in my mind, is like markedly better than 41 and possibly 42. I did really like 42, but it just felt like a carbon copy of 41, but just with a better cast, I think. So I think we're also like, I think the psychological aspect of this is what Survivor is now. And I think we accept it because it's been a year of it. So it's not as alarming when people get voted out for random reasons, or there's nine different knowledge powers floating around. It's just not shocking. And it's like, you accept what you know, and this is what we know now.
Yeah. And I think the cast and production have done a much better job of like smiling with us rather than making us feel like, oh, well, you should just be able to keep up. Like,
yeah,
I feel like the Owen confessional that we had the 1 week, I feel like the fact that when the knowledge is power happened, they're all like, what? Come on. Like, I feel like they are doing a better job of kind of playing along with us rather than just like leaving us for the wolves. So I'm really enjoying the season. I don't know how it's going to end, and I'm not going to make a call on final 11 because this could be a disaster, or it could just get really, really good. Like, we don't know what's going to happen in the post-merge. I don't think anybody would have said that Fans versus Favorites was one of the best seasons ever. And from final 11 through final 4, it's one of the greatest things ever put on TV. Or really, final 3 is still good, but come on, how can we be happy about that? So I just think like that's the difference here. So I still have to see how it plays out, but I can say with 100% confidence, 41 is nowhere, doesn't even hold a candle to this. And you can tell me all you want how much you love Erica as a winner. And I'm not talking about you. I'm just saying like somebody else. Oh, but I love that Erica won, blah, blah, blah. 41 just made horrible decisions the entire time. Under editing Erica, the hourglass twist, introducing that. The fact that introduced it just automatically makes me hate that season. And I just think 43 is starting to feel like Survivor, new school, new era, drop the one BS. Finally figured out what that means. And I feel like that's why I'm enjoying this more. It's the same thing. If you go back and watch the seasons in order, Borneo has no idea what's going on. Australia feels like a totally different show. And then Africa feels like when Survivor says, you know what, we're a reality TV program and we are here to entertain. That's where it starts to feel like it's changing. And I think that's what 43 feels like to me. It just feels like it has figured out what it is.
Yeah, exactly. And Survivor has changed. If I bump into, I don't know, like Amy from Vanuatu, I would ask her about like her relationships with the contestants or what it was like to get voted out. If you bump into someone from like 41 to 43, I feel like people are like, well, why did you vote out this person at the final 8 when you could have done? It's just like Survivor is analytical now, and we are a result of that, and we are a proponent of that for better or for worse. But it makes the show different. And that's what we're watching. And that's sort of the reality of it.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's actually talk about the power rankings. Yeah, let's actually talk about the power rankings, because that's what we're all here for, right, kids?
Of course.
I almost just, I put fill and then hit tab, and I'm so used to like filling out sheets online that I was going to write wood. Like I was ready to type in my name instead of yours.
I thought you put Phil as number one.
No, I'm going to stay with Carla at number one.
Yep, nothing changes there. Same here.
Nothing changes. You know, it was the same reason why I kept putting Gabler at one when he had his idol. I'm going to keep putting Carla at one because she has hers. And also the knowledge is power has the least chance of affecting her. Yes, James knows that Carla has an idol, but it's not.
Does he?
Well, maybe. I don't think he does. I feel like, so this is my honest take on this. I feel like James does know, but I feel like it's not going to be relevant to the story. So the producers just didn't show it. We hear all the time about people knowing that other people had idols and things like that after the fact. Omer had the, what, steal a vote or something, or an idol or something.
Omer had a nullifier.
Yeah. Omer had a nullifier and we didn't even know he had it because it wasn't relevant to the story. So I don't know, but even if he doesn't, whether he does or doesn't, Carla is really in no way going to be screwed by knowledge is power by James because it's her closest ally in the game. So I just, I feel really good about Carla's position right now. And she's my number one and she's going to stay there until she loses that idol or she gives me a damn good reason to get rid of her.
Yeah, she's really killing it. We didn't really hear from her this week. This is going to be such a bad sentence because I don't actually know what happened, but I read in one of the exit interviews that Carla did something to make people know that she didn't have the idol, and it's something around the beads. So whatever she did somehow tipped people off that it wasn't hers, or maybe like said that Lindsay had it and they voted Lindsay out. There's something along those lines where
it was something with Lindsay. Yeah.
Like no one is sniffing that Carla has it. So I think that also just really, really elevates her.
Yeah, I agree. And Royal 17 says, I was shocked Carla had no confessionals last episode. That was her first episode without confessionals. But I'm not really surprised because I've been saying all along that I feel like something's going to happen that's going to prevent Carla from winning. But if Carla does win, she was still very relevant in the last episode. We might not have heard her speak directly to us, but she was speaking to everybody else. So she's still around. It's not like she was invisible just because she didn't get a confessional. So I'm not too
She also had the tweet of the year after the episode. Yeah. So yeah,
that was hilarious.
She had a confessional there.
Thank you, Carla. Thank you.
We see you, Carla. She told people that Lindsay collected beads and went home with them. Genius.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's brilliant. It's brilliant. Yeah. And now nobody can have it because it's already gone. I mean, that's just great. That's great gameplay.
Yeah, really impressive.
Yeah.
All right, who's your number two?
So at number two, so it's funny. When I look at my rankings.
I already don't know.
When I look at my rankings from last week, it almost looks identical to what I feel like my rankings this week are going to be.
Yeah, Dwight going didn't shake a lot up.
It didn't. And I only had Dwight at number eight. So that definitely hurt me a little bit. And Alexa, you pulled further ahead with your spoilers. No, I'm just kidding.
Hanging out on spoiler site. I'm shocked. Alexa, I never do this well.
Alexa never does. Alexa does not know spoilers, but she never does as well as she's doing right now. And it's frustrating me. So anyway, yeah. So I just don't see much changing. And so I'm going to keep Owen at number two. I mean, call it lazy, call it what you will, but I didn't see anything that happened last week that would make me want to drop Owen down. And if anything, I feel like Owen's kind of doing what he's supposed to from a social aspect. It doesn't seem like the Bach of four are all that angry with each other. He was throwing Gabler under the bus, but he was throwing him under the bus to Dwight and like that kind of alliance. And I don't think it's that big of a deal that he's throwing Gabler under the bus. I also think like Gabler would find it would take it personally if it got back to him, but I don't think anybody's going to try to screw Owen over at this point because I don't think Owen's really on anybody's radar. So I'm just going to put him at number two.
Yeah, and Owen's also been voting incorrectly for the past few episodes. I have Sammy at number two and Owen at number three. Sammy has clearly made his way into the in crowd, but he also seems to still have Gabler very much on his side. Seems to have some form of working relationship with Owen, even if they haven't voted together. And he's in with Carla and James and Cassidy, which seems to be sort of the nucleus right now. Mm-hmm. I don't know how he got in. That I would love to know. But he seems to just be very egoless in the way he's playing. He doesn't say, I need this person gone or I don't care. He's floating along with the group, but not in a way that makes him seem like he's just there. And kind of the same with, I'll keep going just with Owen. I actually think Owen voting incorrectly, whether it's intentional or not, is working for him because one, it doesn't seem like he's like a Romeo in that he's just flinging votes and no one, and it's not going anywhere. Like he's voting like
Romeo and Juliet, but go ahead.
There we go. But he's like, he's voting with people still. It's just not correct, but he's not, it doesn't seem like he's voting wrong. Like he's still narrating us. He's still very confident. He's not nervous about it. So I think the two of them are in a really good spot.
I feel like Owen it has been in the position of throwing the vote in case somebody plays a shot in the dark, which is making him look wrong. But I feel like Owen has always been in the know of what is happening. I don't think there's been a single time where Owen doesn't know what's going on, really. So that's why I think we have to stop looking so much into what's going on with who's voting for who and everything like that, because there there's so many layers now to, we got to split it, or we got to make sure they don't have the knowledge, or the they don't play their shot in the dark, or what if knowledge is power. But like, I feel like Owen was very much in the know. He was not surprised at all either of these last 2 weeks. So I think he's okay. I forget what I was going to say about Sammy, but I'll wait and maybe I'll think of it when I actually get to Sammy. I hope that this episode starts off with Sammy. That's what I want. Like, I want Sammy to tell me why he voted the way he did and be the narrator for why it was Dwight who went home. I think we'll probably go the opposite route where we hear from Noelle being shocked, but I would like to hear from Sammy because I think hearing from Sammy would let us know why Sammy was in on the vote. I also thought it was weird, though, because you have to think, Alexa, if this was back season 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, they would have aired the part of the final words that said, "And I went home with my idol."
Yeah.
I thought it was very strange that we didn't hear anything about the idol afterwards to confirm for viewers what was going on. So I'm sure we'll hear that at the beginning of the episode next week, but I really did not like that at all. That was just something that bothered me.
Yeah, it's probably... I don't really know. I can't say I remember Dwight's last words because I was too busy trying to figure out who voted for who. I don't know. But I feel like, yeah, him going on with an idol that suddenly was his is definitely pretty notable.
Yeah.
Who's your number three?
So before I do my number three, I just want to throw this one thing up there. And you and I have both said this a lot about secret scenes. Zachary Wolf says her telling people that and not making the episode does scare me for her winner chances, though. And that's about Carla. The fact that we didn't see, because that was a secret scene with her talking to Gabler. The fact that we didn't see that, that's not good, because that is a huge move. And that's really good strategizing. And I'm surprised that if she's going to go on to win, that we don't know that. And we always say, like, that's why we don't really watch secret scenes. Although I did watch that one, mainly because Carla's just a fun time on Twitter.
Yeah.
But, and I saw Gabler, which immediately made me click play. Yeah. But I do think that it's brilliant. Don't get me wrong, but I think it's bad from an edit perspective that we don't know that.
Yeah, definitely.
Okay. So my number three, again, staying boring, and then I promise it changes, but just like last week, I have Jesse. My reason for having Jesse here is Vessi just went one way. But Jesse had that random throwaway confessional about Carla is like family. Carla has an idol. Carla has James and Cassidy. Carla has Ryan running back to her to tell her everything whenever he wants to. It seems like she's building good relationships. Jesse still has a good relationship with Cody. And guess what? I just named six people out of the 11 remaining, and that is a majority. If James were to play his knowledge as power to screw anybody, it's probably going to be Noelle because she has an advantage and he'll try to play the steal a vote at this point. But he could also try to get Cody's idol. I don't see any way Jesse goes home this week. He doesn't have anything. I feel like he's in with people, playing a really good social game, not going to be screwed by knowledge is power. I feel like he's in a really good spot and he's just got to keep focusing on the social game.
Yeah, I think with Jesse, I don't really know what to do with him because I think we think he made a bad move, but that doesn't necessarily mean that the people he's playing with did. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be interesting to see that fallout there. And the main person who's going to be really pissed about that is Noelle, who just lost like the main person who was sort of her ally. So I think he's safe. I have him a little bit lower. I got to think of who I want my number four to be, because for the first time ever, I did not do these in advance.
Wow. I can't believe you.
I know. Who am I? That's why we were a little late. Sorry, everybody. I'm going to go with one Mike Gabler from Meridian, Idaho as my number four. And I think we've seen that he can perform very well in a challenge. I do not think that people are particularly saying we must get rid of him. I think him having immunity and therefore him like taking a back seat in deciding who to vote for and just the voting in general, he's not like he commanded the Ellie vote. So he didn't, then he just didn't command a vote. And I think that makes, that just takes the target off your back. It makes you a little more hidden. And I think that's a good thing because he's a big dude who had a huge earn the merge episode. So I think Gabler's okay. He doesn't really have any enemies. The only person, I can't even say that he and Janine are enemies because they like were fine. So yeah. I have Gabler number four.
Yeah, so that's where I had him last week, but this is where I'm actually going to start to change things up. And you had mentioned he's from Meridian, Idaho. Alexa, we have a player from Idaho on this season, but nobody from New York. And I know you live in New York now, but nobody from New York. And the Jets just beat the Bills, and the Jets are good, and the Giants are good. And, you know, I know, sorry, you're Patriots. But is that just a sign that Survivor, if they don't put people from New York, like New York football teams are just going to kill it? Sorry, I just can't.
I think that's what happened.
Idaho.
Is there no one from New York?
I feel not like a Lindsay, single person from New York on this season.
Not Lindsay?
I don't think so. Isn't Lindsay?
I think actively.
Lindsay's from Downingtown, PA.
Oh, yeah, that's not New York. Janine is from the great state of Massachusetts, or at least like lives there now. Yeah. So I'll take that. But yeah, that's interesting. Go Jets.
Go happy Jets, kind of question mark. But
I'm happy for them because they will never like, you know, I'm not that scared of them.
They'll never actually be successful. But
I am happy for them.
Don't worry. I'm only bringing this up because my friend who's watching this, who's a huge Jets fan, was like, you won't bring it up. So there you go, Jets.
And it's brought up.
And guess what? You just heard it from a Patriots fan. The Jets still suck. It doesn't
matter. Like the Jets are so bad that I'm happy for them. So
yeah. There's no rivalry there.
Yeah.
All right. But yeah. So anyway, I'm not going to put Gabler at number four here. I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to put Cassidy at number four. And I'm not going to feel great about it, but remember that majority I just mentioned? Why is that majority going to come after Cassidy? Or I'm sorry, if that majority were to somehow not be the actual majority of this season, why is the other side coming after Cassidy? Just why? Why would you vote out Cassidy? No. So obviously the small young female player has been intimidating ever since Parvati existed, right? Like that
scariest
has been
the person out there.
Yeah. It's the scariest human being there. We see it every time, but this cast, we haven't heard many people talk about Cassidy, which is weird, right? Because if you really think about it, everybody else always talking about, I got to get rid of Noel because of this, or Jesse's doing this, or Carla's got this. But almost nobody is talking about Cassidy. So are they worried Cassidy is a threat to win? Or do they just think that she is just going to continue going through the game and just is like a non-factor? I think right now they probably think she's a non-factor. And I think if they don't be careful, she could be like Erica and Marianne and last too long and then screw you all over. So, but I'm going to put her at four here because I just don't see the other side. I just don't see it happening where they just like decide that, hey, Cassidy's the one this week. And they're all like, yeah, you're right. She's so scary.
Yeah. I think she could succumb to being the person who's had her name written down a few times, like kind of similar to James, but I'm totally with you. I have Cassidy at six and I have Jesse at five, not to jump too far ahead. And kind of, I feel similarly about both of them where neither of them really have any enemies whatsoever. Cassidy, like maybe Ryan, but I don't think one, Ryan could rally the troops to do that, or two, like that was anything other than a vote from a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
And someone here says in the chat, Cassidy at the beginning said she wanted to play quiet because typically women can't play the same kind of game that men can. She's doing it. Like she's literally doing exactly what she said. So good for her on that. And with Jesse too, everyone seems to like him. Nobody seems to be intimidated by him, which at this point is exactly where you want to be.
Yeah, that's exactly what you want. I mean, his name his name isn't coming up to anybody. And that's going to lead into my number five, which is Sammy. And I've been having Sammy low this whole time. And I never thought I'd put him this high in my rankings. I never thought he'd be number five unless we were going into the finale. And he was one of the five people remaining. But he just, his name isn't coming up. And if your name isn't coming up, then you're doing something right. And he voted with the cool kids this week. I could see Sammy maybe being a boot in when they do a split tribal or when we get down to like final seven or eight and somebody just randomly plays an idol and Sammy ends up being the one who gets the stray bullet. But right now, I do not see Sammy going at all. And I think he's just in a fantastic space and I'm happy for him. Yeah. And I'm curious to see how he's going to keep going forward with it. So yeah, I got Sammy here way higher than I ever thought Sammy would be in my rankings, but he's playing a fantastic game.
Yeah, he's doing a great job. I'm really enjoying watching him.
Yeah.
He's like he's very level-headed. He's really good.
Yeah, it's so weird. It's so weird. I did not think that this was going to be the game Sammy was going to play at all. I mean, none of us did. Sammy wasn't drafted when we did our fantasy draft.
Yeah, that's wild.
Wasn't drafted.
All right, jump ahead to your six. Catch up.
Catching up. All right. Well, I prepped this one, obviously. At number six, I'm actually going to put James. So he has the knowledge is power, which immediately made him kind of a target to some people and blah, blah, blah. Made him a target to the people who don't really matter. And I mean that from a strategy standpoint, everybody matters. but from a strategy standpoint, he became a target to people who just don't matter. And I understand that Cody might try to go after him or something, but the second Cody tries to go after him, James is then going to go after Cody. And I think James will be able to pull the numbers better than Cody will just based on where these tribal lines are at right now. I don't like that Vessi gave up a number last week. And I know people were really hard on Gabler for getting rid of Ellie, but I feel like people haven't been that hard on Cody for being so willing to get rid of Dwight. And he threw Dwight's name out there. Like when Jesse said, maybe we get rid of Noel, which I didn't think was a very smart move either. Cody was like, well, what about Dwight? And they were like, great, Dwight's gone.
Jesse and Cody are not getting the shit they deserve.
They're not.
The move that they just did. They're not getting any shit for it. Yeah.
Thank you for saying that because I felt like alone in that.
No, because the difference, I think Jesse and Cody are popular players and Gabler is not as popular, but that doesn't make their move good. I don't know if their move is good or not, but they did, like Jesse wanted to get rid of Noel because he wanted to. And it seems like Cody did the same thing with Dwight. So it's not like,
well, and it's the same argument everybody tried to make about Gabler was, well, it was the devil, you know, and it's the person on your tribe. So why would you throw somebody on your tribe under the bus? You just got like tunnel vision. It was somebody. They just got total tunnel vision. I mean, they got rid of Dwight, who really, I don't
think was a little more subdued. And I think that's all they like. Cody was like, what about Dwight? And that's why Dwight went home.
Yeah.
Like, I think there's also the difference there. Like they didn't, there wasn't a big thing. They were walking.
That's why I think it was also kind of like a worse move because they did it so sly and it's, why are you getting rid of Dwight? Dwight liked Jesse. Weren't they island husbands or something? Like what is going on here?
Yeah. Well, I guess not anymore.
Not anymore.
I don't know. Jesse's been some complicated relationships. It's a little confusing, but
it is. It is. But yeah, so I think James is in an okay spot with this knowledge is power. And I wouldn't be surprised if he just throws the knowledge is power, if you know what I'm saying. I would not be surprised at all if he starts to get too much of a target, if he just says, hey, do you have this? Knowing somebody doesn't have it, just to get rid of it so people can't be worried about it anymore.
Yeah, I think he actually really needs to play it.
Yeah.
Yeah. You just see it go through.
Stay nonsense, right? That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Who's your seven?
My number seven, I'm going to put Janine. Janine is the definition of a defanged player. Hmm. People seem to like her. She's really scrappy and she's really hanging on. Why are you going to get rid of her? Everyone's like probably getting to the point where they're going to start getting egos and they want to be the one to make the move. Janine is not going to be your move to get rid of. I think Janine was really good at the top of last week's episode where she was like, let me be an asset. Let me do this. Like, use me. That's exactly what you got to do in that position. And it worked for her this week. And I think it'll work it again for her next week. She also has no allies and has no power. So therefore she is in the bottom half.
And Alexa, just like, as you're talking about Janine, to watch how happy everybody, like not everybody, but there's two people who immediately, Paulie Lewis, Janine Gang Rise, Christian Gal, Janine is a
We're lit for Janine.
Like when we were talking, when you were just talking about like, well, Cody and Jesse are popular players. So therefore they don't get the hate that Gabler gets. Janine is one of those players right now who is, Oh God, I can't think of the guy's name.
He's so underground. Like, she's an underdog that like is burrowed deep inside the earth.
Scott Sterling is what it reminds me of, which is that it's that fake video that YouTube did where it's the goalie who just keeps getting hit in the face with the soccer ball. That's Janine right now. Every time she stands up,
she's getting hit in the chin.
Boom, boom, boom. And that's the whole video. He's a penalty. He's in the penalty kicks and they're dragging his body on. The guys just keep kicking it off his face. That's Janine. No matter what she does, no matter how dead she is in this game, she finds a way to get hit one more time. And I think that there is something fun about that though, right? Like, Kelly Wentworth made a career out of that. Kelly Wentworth made a career out of what happened in her first two seasons of Survivor.
Yeah. And you feel for that person. Third one,
and that was for Nicola, because that was the first time I said it.
Yeah. And like, you feel for her. Like, she's in such a bad position that you can't do anything other than feel bad for her. And everyone loves an underdog, and she's really become an underdog.
Yeah. And so I'm going to put the winner of the season at number seven, and I'll put Janine at eight. So I have Mike Babler at number seven. Only have him a little bit lower just because he's becoming a little threatening. So the one bit of criticism that I am totally fine with on the internet for Mike Babler is this. There was a great tweet that said, Gabler 5 minutes ago, I'm lowering myself back down so that nobody knows. Gabler now. With the idol on it. It's so funny because immediately, I mean, that was the same day, Alexa.
Publicly wins immunity.
That was the same day he went out there. He gave everybody the backstory of everybody he's ever met in every state he's ever been to. And then he turned around and won that challenge anyway, and I think made himself a little bit of a threat. Now it comes down to how threatening is Gabler's social game, which we're still being told it's not threatening. Okay, if it's not threatening, there's no need to vote him out of the game right now. But Gabler got the person he wanted voted out. He wins the immunity challenge that nobody would expect him to win. I don't care about anything. But yeah, I think Gabler, you know, he could go this week for sure. But I'm liking Gabler as a player. I'm not necessarily saying Gabler's playing a very good game, but I think he's just fun and he's different. We've had so many consecutive seasons of game bots or people who are huge fans who blow the game because they're too in their own head about it. And Gabler is just out there. I was talking to John Millsip about it earlier. He said it's kind of like Keith Nail. And it's a character you never really thought you were going to get again. But if Keith Nail makes the final three of Sam Mondel Sur, he might win that season, as crazy as that is. So I just think it's a fun, different type of personality that kind of stumbles their way through the game. But I do feel like Gabler has a little bit more standing than we maybe thought he did right now. So that's all. So I have him at seven and I have Janine at eight. She has no idol. She, like you said, she is the definition of defanged. And I don't know if you want to keep that player or get rid of that player. There's got to be bigger fish to fry right now than Janine, though, right? I put her at eight. I have three people below her, but there's got to be bigger fish.
Yeah, there 100% is. My number eight, I'm going to put Cody. Pretty low for him, but he did just lose. He lost a person on his tribe who probably would have voted for him, but voted with him for a decent amount of time. And I don't know. I have no idea if people, like, how people are going to take this vote out, but I do think this group voted with Cody and Jesse. That was Cody's idea. Cody and Jesse came to the group and they all said, okay, we're down. So that's going to make Cody and Jesse a lot more confident, which is a fantastic time to vote out somebody who has an idol and potentially use this knowledge as power that's floating around. Mm-hmm. I do think Cody would be able to sniff it out, but at the same time, people have gotten really good at voting out people who are holding onto idols. So I do think he's in a little bit of trouble.
Yeah, and I think Cody would be able to sniff it out, but how much can he actually do, right? That's where his biggest problem comes in. If they want to play the knowledge is power on him and he has to give up his idol to somebody else and then there's chaos and he doesn't have it and now it's okay, are the votes still coming at me? Can I have my idol back? I mean, he'd probably give it to Jesse and then Jesse would give it to him, but he's giving it to Jesse way too obvious and people would just then ask Jesse for it. Like,
yeah,
there's so much to that. I have Cody at number nine. I hope he manages to keep going, but idols at this point don't mean as much as they used to, especially when you're kind of playing the game the way Cody is playing. If you're Carla, even though Carla has been like a big personality narrator, everybody really likes Carla. Carla's still been playing a pretty subdued game. She really has. Cody's been a little bit more in your face with his game. So I have him at number nine. That means I still think there's two other people who would go before him. And one of them I'm going to just continuously put at the bottom until they get to the final three and I'm pissed. but yeah, that's where I have. And that person is Ryan, by the way. I have Ryan at the end. So I have Noel at 10 and then Ryan at 11. Sorry to end that, but
yeah,
might as well. That's fine. You have the same, you have the same bottom two, I presume, or do you have?
Yeah, I'm going to go James at 9, Noel at 10, Ryan at 11. The weird thing is I don't really know like why anyone's going to get rid of Ryan. He probably shouldn't be at the bottom. I feel like he'll go to the end unless he does something like very insulting, which it doesn't seem like he is. Noel I'm more concerned about because James could take her knowledge as power, and she is now she is without her ally, and her seal of vote will only be able to carry her so far. But if she gets the right people, that seal of vote can really go a long way. So I'm curious to see how it goes.
Yeah, I just don't know if she's going to be able to get the right people. You know, like that's the worst part. That's why I have her at 10. I just don't know if Noelle is ever going to be able to rebound. I just don't know. And I hope she can. I really do. Yeah, I really like her. But I just don't know if she's going to be able to. I'm concerned for her. But Ryan, I keep putting at the bottom because I just feel like when you need an easy boot and when eventually Carla and Cassidy and James decide it's time for Ryan to go, Ryan's going to go. And I didn't think Dwight would be the straight bullet last week. And now it feels like, okay, who's going to catch it this week? In my opinion, I think that Ryan could catch it. Like, why not? I mean, he doesn't have a close enough ally to defend him. And if he loses immunity again, it might be, let's get rid of the guy who keeps winning immunities and our numbers are still okay. And we don't need to have Ryan, or Ryan overplays his hand and that ends up screwing him. Realistically, Noel should be my bottom person here, but Noel's another one. It's a tough cast. I feel like the cast is, everybody has a way, a path for staying in the game. Whereas with 42 and 41, I felt like it was a little bit more obvious. Once 41 hit the merge, I felt like it was more obvious. But 42, I just felt like it was so obvious every week. It was like, this makes sense for this person to go home for this reason. This season, Dwight's really didn't make sense. And I feel like that's kind of the gameplay we're in for in this post-merge.
Yeah, exactly. I said past Carla, I was like, I don't know who's number two. Like it felt very kind of up in the air, which is going to be really fun because there's some people, what did you call it in one of your after shows? Like competitors or pretenders or something
contenders,
like that? Like
pretenders, yeah.
Yeah, like you're getting a little bit of both.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree.
I'm excited. And I feel like not this week, but probably the following week, we're going to get that weird double boot that's going to mess everything up too.
Yeah, final 10, I think, is probably when we get. It seems like that's become a staple for Survivor, and eventually they'll mix that up because it's becoming too predictable that at final 10, you're just going to be like, okay, we're splitting in groups of five. Hope they, am I good with everybody? You know, that's...
Yeah, exactly.
Fun.
But we're in for a good episode. I'm very excited to see the aftermath of this, and if you and I are the only ones critiquing Jesse and Cody, if we're right or not.
Jesse and Cody needed to be critiqued for that. I could not believe they got off so scot-free. I was like, Teflon Dan over here. Like, get out of here. Why are you not being taken down? But good for them. That's what you get for being more likable on the internet, I guess. But anyway, Alexa, Wednesday night, right? Normal time?
Wednesday night, right after the episode, Eastern time. So 9:05 Eastern. Make sure to tune into that. Become a patron. We are at the top of the month. Always a great time to become a patron. We have a lot of good stuff for our $20 patrons, $1, $5, $10, and $20 patrons. And if you are in our Discord, join the chats. Chat live during the episode. There's a lot of good stuff going on there, so make sure you get involved.
Yeah, for sure. And we'll see you all on Wednesday.
Bye.